Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Whether you're listening to us while you're driving or working out or going on a walk or wherever it is that you're listening to the show, thank you for tuning in and spending some time with us. I'm really excited for you to meet our guest today, Diego Napolis out of Southern California. He's a teacher that I've been able to follow on TikTok for some time now and get teacher tips from. Even though I'm entering my fourth year of teaching this fall, he's still offered some great resources, some great advice. And I think as teachers, we can always continue to learn from one another, whether it's our first year of teaching or our 25th year of teaching. There's always something new that somebody else can bring to the table and make your classroom a little bit more effective. And it was great to talk to him about what it's like being a teacher, the differences between teaching in Wisconsin and California, and also what inspired him to become a teacher, some different tips that he has along the way. And it was just great to have this conversation with him in the summertime where we're a little more relaxed and not as much as on our plate, but we're also thinking about things for the upcoming school year, but taking that time to recharge the batteries. So I hope you enjoy listening to the show, and make sure you follow Diego on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube. I'll leave those handles that he has in the comments of the show, so you can make sure that you follow him on those platforms, because he's just an awesome guy and a great person to have a conversation with. And I look forward to having him on future shows as well. And with that being said, enjoy the show.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast. It's something I've been wanting to do for a while, so thanks for agreeing to do it.
I'm excited. It's my first one, so forgive me if I'm nervous or...
No, you're all good. We got the tech issues out of the way, so it's all good,
right?
To go now.
Yeah. That's definitely the struggles of a teacher, though. That felt very real.
So how's your summer been so far?
It's been good. I'm out in California, so it's been cooler this week, thankfully. My daughter turns 3 next Monday.
Oh, okay.
We have a birthday on Wednesday, and we're like, fingers crossed, it won't be in triple digits, but it's going to be 101. So yeah, hopefully this week's all like 85, 88. It's great. But yeah. What about you, man? How are things?
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, our hot here in Northern Wisconsin is like mid-80s.
Wow.
most of us are used to the cold winters and things like that. So,
yeah.
And they always say like the humidity is what gets you, but it's interesting how different people react to the heat here, but it's been good.
Man, I can only imagine how cold it will be over there. I mean, us cold is like 60.
Like, oh, really?
When it's cold, it's like, oh man. But I'm sure Wisconsin, you're like, oh, this is nothing. This is like flip flops, right?
Yeah, that's our fall,
right? Yeah, no, way different out here.
Yeah, we get negative 20 degree days sometimes in the winter.
Wow.
And we also have school.
See, I was thinking 20s. You're thinking like negative 20s. Wow. I went to New York one time and it was like 27 degrees, and I never felt that cold in my life. Like I had a beanie and like 4 layers and an overcoat and gloves, and my face was like hurting because the cold, but wow, I can't imagine negative degrees.
Yeah, it's you make sure the freezer is fully stocked with like everything that you need, and so you don't have to venture out to the grocery store too often.
I was gonna say,
so.
why do you need a freezer? Just put your stuff outside in the ice.
That's actually what we do. It's funny that you bring that up. So like if we have like a classroom party or things like that, we run out of, if all the teachers in the school are having different parties going on right around Christmas time,
yeah,
we'll often run out of like freezer space. So a lot of teachers just set their juice boxes outside in the snow to keep them cold and stuff like that.
Wow. I'm just imagining all like it. Just imagining my classroom, like we have rainy days sometimes.
Yeah.
and it's like the drop of a hat, the schedule changes, you know. But I can't imagine it's that cold. You guys still have school, even though it's that freezing? Wow.
Yeah. I think like our threshold is if it's like negative 30 or greater, then we can't have school. But negative 20, it's like long indoor recess days where the kids can't go outside and things like that. But thankfully we only have maybe 1 week of that where it's really that cold. And oftentimes that's in February, but
it's cool to hear that. Like, I love having like just like empathy and just imagine different situations of how other teachers go through situations like that. That's wild.
Do you guys have heat days where there's days where you can't go to school because it's too hot?
Not school, but we won't have, we call inclement weather. And if it's 100, I want to say like 95 and above, they won't go outside. We'll have indoor recess and we just do some games inside. And
okay.
It's usually like the midday recess gets canceled. The morning one's okay. It's like creeping up to like 91, 92, but the midday one, we only have two recesses at our school, for fourth grade. But I like to take them up after like around 2 o'clock because they need a third recess. I think
right.
They need recesses. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I see that you try to play with your kids at recess as well, like throw the football around and things like that.
Every first recess I do, I like to go out there. Probably like I did 90% this year with them.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that's so important to do as a teacher?
I think it's fun. It's a lot of fun to play with the kids and the rapport you build with them. And a lot of conversations you can have in the classroom, like let's say you're behind schedule for math or reading, but if you're out there with the kids, there's no stress. You're just, you know, having fun, and you get to like teach other things besides academics, like how to lose gracefully. That's important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we play football, there would be a lot of, you know, trash talking. So we go over at, you know, like, don't say with your mouth, you know, show it on the field, show how good you are, you know, mm-hmm. don't boast about like how good you can throw. And then bringing others down, you know, a lot of things that I couldn't teach in the classroom with a textbook. So I love that. I also love meeting other kids who aren't in my classroom and then mm-hmm. getting to know them, you know, and then expanding, you know, just just getting a feel for the whole group. And then seeing their friends and then the relationships they have and then like the way they talk to each other. And just helps a lot. So I guess just a lot of just still teaching. You're just completely mm-hmm. modeling how to do a lot of things in the classroom and as well as at the playground.
Yeah. It's nice to have that. Yeah. Those conversations that you can have maybe about how a game went last night, if there was like a big football game that took place, to see that you're a Rams fan.
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe talking about a Rams game or something like that, but then, allowing that time to build those relationships with the students and, especially those students that you mentioned, like outside of your own classroom, because how many students do you guys have per grade?
We have 33 is the cap. I had 32 this year.
32 in your classroom?
Yeah. 32 in my classroom.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Big class size. Yeah. What about you guys? What's your cap?
They're capped at 18. So don't get mad at me for saying this.
I would love that, man.
I had 11 kids in my class this year.
Wow. So jealous. Well, not at 20 degrees, but wow.
Right.
11 students, man. I can only imagine. That's like personally, that's one of my biggest, I think, the struggles we have as teachers is class size. For those that have above, you know, the mm-hmm. upper 20s, it's a lot. It's hard to, I don't get to meet all the kids. There's some that, you know, slip through the cracks. And I don't get to, you know, fully bond with them as the ones that are more outgoing and more outspoken, mm-hmm. you know. But back to the football thing you were saying, I had a kid who was a big Buffalo fan, and he was like, I'm Josh Allen. Like, he would always run to kids, and great kid. But he's still in fourth grade, so I'll see him next year and for two more years. But that was always a great conversation to have, you know, the games, like, oh, just did the play last night, just that throw he made, man, tough game, tough loss, but it was a lot of fun just having those conversations with them.
Definitely. Yeah. I have, I'm a big like Packers fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I see the colors.
Yeah. Got to represent.
Yeah.
But I have some Minnesota Vikings fans in my class. And so there's that rivalry. And so I had a pretty good rivalry with one of my students this year. I mean, like, it was playful, but it was like, oh yeah, big game coming up, Packers, Vikings. Yeah. And there was like a, I think it was like a December game that the Packers lost to the Vikings, but then we had like a snow day the next day. I was like, all right, maybe he'll forget. He did not forget.
He was waiting. He was at home waiting the next day.
Yep.
That's a lot of fun. There's a 49ers fan at school too. And I see him and I'm like, oh, Debo got hurt. You know, it's funny. The rivalry stuff's awesome. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get sports growing up. Like, I was a quiet, shy kid and I loved like music and art growing up. But a few years ago, I played fantasy football with my brother-in-law's and I just became engulfed in like football, you know, the whole world is of everything, you know. My wife would be mad at me saying, you're up at 2 a.m. checking the waiver wire and stuff.
Right.
But the rivalry, like I wasn't or like a trash talking person, but now I get it. Like when someone's up like that rival, it's like, I don't know. You have to be a football fan to understand it, but like that rivalry is a lot of fun. Like it's playful, but in the sense where it's like a loving hate. Like you know what I mean? It's hard to explain, but I think you know what I mean. Like the
vibe. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like both being fans of the sport and you build community through that. Like, oh, your team, I'm going to beat your team. Or
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little camaraderie and banding together. It's cool.
Yeah. So now that we're in summer, what's one of the ways that you like to recharge and relax in the summertime?
Family time. Yeah. That's a big one for me. I have a, well, she'll be three next week, but my daughter was born during like the middle of the pandemic era.
Okay.
So I was at home a lot, which is, I'm so grateful for. It's terrible for a lot of things, the shutdown, but I'm thankful I had to spend time with her in those, you know, opening years of her life. And now in the summertime, well, during the school year, I didn't get to spend as much time as I could because I was a little more exhausted after work. And now that I'm home, it's nice. We get to do a lot of stuff together, you know, build her Lego sets, play doctor and just bond a lot more, excuse me. And, I see my parents is more, my wife, we get to hang out more. So family time is probably the best way for me to personally recharge, reading, you know, playing Fortnite. I do like to game, I give my students my gamer tag at the end of the year. So their former students will play me. And we still got to have that kind of like that relationship, you know, bonding and like trash talking, but usually we'll do like squads and stuff. So
that's awesome.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
Yeah. I like going to baseball games. We have like a small town baseball team that plays. My hometown or where I teach is about 3,000 people. So it's a pretty small community. But like going to those games and sometimes I'll like get to announce the games.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I enjoy doing in the summertime is doing that. And then also I'm like a wedding DJ. So that's kind of my teacher side hustle is,
that's awesome. Yeah.
DJ weddings. So
do you play a lot of, Don't Stop Believing? I'm sure.
Yeah. That's one. Like I've tried not to play it unless it gets requested just cause I've heard it so many times.
The cliche wedding song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to mix it every now and then. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And now I'm at the age where a lot of my friends are getting married and things like that. So I'll get to go to their wedding, but also get to play music for them as well.
That's neat. That's awesome.
Yeah.
My wedding song was, Aerosmith. Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, that's a classic.
That was a lot of fun. Like it was kind of like Journey on the vibe, but a little bit different. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. My wife and I just got married this past October. And, so
that's when we got married. We got married October 2, October 9th with our wedding date.
Oh, okay. Mine's the 15th.
Oh, wow.
So pretty close.
Time. Yeah. It's a good time to get married. I love that era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was able to DJ our wedding and that was a lot of fun.
Save on a DJ, you know, that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. We were able to budget. It was like, all right, I got that.
Yeah.
I'll take
you're
care
like,
of that.
You're all like eating the cake and going back and switching the next song. And
were that's you? What it, a little sure. bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't, I mean, I'm able to queue up quite a few. So it made it a little bit easier, modern technology. But
yeah,
my dad was a DJ for about 25 years and he always had like the big CD cases. Mm-hmm. I remember like hauling them with him. Like, I'm so glad I don't have to play off of CDs.
It's crazy the way technology's advanced. And I think about just everything in the sense with our parents, how they used to live way differently. The phone alone and the kids growing up with phones too.
Right.
Like we have a no phone policy in our classroom. Like I'll collect them at the start of the day. But the way they talk to each other and just, I can't imagine growing up with a screen like that at that age, you know, at 8, 9, having a phone in your hands.
Right.
Like so much power. I feel like you can look up anything and do anything, you know, the information, you can search anything on YouTube and learn it, you know, and teach yourself all kinds of things where if you and I had wanted to do that, went to the library, looked up some books or, you know, use a calculator, how to go get that separate thing or go to the computer room at school.
Right.
Do a Google search. So I'm 35. I might be assuming that you're in your mid 30s too. I don't know.
I'm 26, but I still recognize though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. Okay. So when I was 18, you were 11. So I think you might've had your phone by that time.
Yeah. I got my first one when I was 13.
I was 15. Yeah. Still a good, like good age as opposed to like, we see kindergartners having phones out here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say crazy. A couple of my second graders have them, but like, it's not really a phone. It's more so like for games and things like that.
Yeah,
it's not really connected to a cellular network or anything. So, but it's crazy how just things change over the past like decade.
Yeah.
And so how that, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we couldn't have done that year of distance learning without technology, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Or even this would have been, you know, a phone call or an email, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, even like, in our area, so I'm at the place that I work in the summertime. I work at a surf shop. In northern Wisconsin, it seems kind of weird to be.
I was going to say, you guys next to a lake or something?
Yeah, there's a lot of lakes up here. So it's okay.
That's cool.
Like wake surfers or paddle boards and things like that.
Yeah.
But you have to be in town to get really good Wi-Fi. There's not like high speed internet everywhere. So at like my house, it's really spotty. Like, if you're on it in the morning from like 8 until 10 o'clock, you're good. Anytime after that, good luck.
Dang.
So, yeah, it's just.
Are you at home now?
I'm at the surf shop right now.
Okay. The connection's good. So I was going to say, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy to hear the struggles of someone else, man. That's definitely, that's why I love having conversations with people, you know, because you get to have perspective and appreciate things that, you know, you don't really normally appreciate. So that's always good.
Yeah. It made distance learning like during COVID and everything like that. We got like packets out to students because not everybody had reliable internet. So we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But then as we started off, I want to say, well, the fall of 2020, then we're able to equip students with Chromebooks and things like that and get like little boosters for Wi-Fi so kids could be on Seesaw or join our Google Meets and things.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure it's hard for the kids too, because they're not in town as well. Like their internet was, you know, even with the boosters.
Right.
Dang.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit more about like what inspired you to become a teacher, Diego?
A student. When I was 21 or 22, I was going to school to become a music producer. That was a goal I wanted to have. I wanted to produce music. I was in a band and I was teaching at a school, after school program called CAPS, which is a creative program. They did art and other kinds of things. So I taught piano and there was this kid and the teachers there would say, oh, you know, be careful with that one. He's very, you know, he's a tough kid. And one day around Christmas time, he was like, Mr. Diego, because they call us by our first name. Mm-hmm. I wish you were my dad. And I, at 22, I was like playing the guitar and playing piano. And I was like, what? What'd you say? He's like, I wish you were my dad. And I was like, and it was this weird like feeling, like, I don't know. I at that moment, it was like, wow, like I have a lot of, you know, responsibility in this position, you know, working with these young kids. And I felt like, man, I want to do something, you know, music's great, but maybe I can work with kids in a different, you know, capacity. So then it was in the back of my mind for a while, and but that moment made me like change my perspective about it being just a job. It wasn't just a job at that moment. I wanted to, it's like a calling or something to do, something that pulls me to do it. You know, if I got paid less, I still would be teaching. Like I know that. But that moment made me really like just change my trajectory in life. And fast forward 3 years later, I was teaching in the same city, actually up the block from the same school where that happened. And that's what, you know, inspired me to keep teaching and just trying to not get that same response, but rather just, I don't know, like working with kids and making them feel cared for. That's something that, you know, I strive to do every day. But that moment, you know, made me feel like, wow, this kid who other adults feel like is troubled or difficult or a challenge, you know, just wants to be cared for and loved, you know, and I just showed him the attention he was missing and he reacted that way. And he never had a problem with me. I know I'm going on and on about the story, but
oh no, you're good.
That you know, that made me chase the dream of teaching.
Yeah, I'm glad you answered that call too, and like had that moment where I was like, or you're able to identify it and say like, hey, like this is where I see my life going now, and like felt that tap on the shoulder, right?
Yeah,
maybe go in this direction, and think of just like that one student, and now you've been able to impact hundreds of students, and will continue to impact students as you go throughout your teaching career.
Yeah.
And how long have you been teaching for?
This will be my 8th year. Wow, it's crazy to say out loud my 8th right? year. It is. I mean, I can't imagine when I say 10, but wow, 8 years. But I was at that program when I was 22, so I've been working with kids for almost more than a decade, you know. And I see former students come up and say, hey, they're in college now. I actually had a student who works alongside me. And I saw her in 5th grade, and she's like 22 now in her second year of college. I'm like, you know, didn't I teach you guitar when you were like 8? She's like, yeah, I thought you looked familiar. I was like, wow. She's like, yeah, I want to be a teacher now. And I'm working here in the program at the school. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's cool to hear.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember when you were this little, and now you're like, but it's wild to see that, you know, I stay the same, I think, but seeing them grow up and become adults is wild and powerful. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty awesome when you can have those students, former students come up to you and just tell you like things that they remember about your classroom or ways that you impacted them, or even just how they're doing and sharing where they're at in life.
Yeah. It's neat. Social media now, like they reach out, you know, through Instagram or TikTok, they'll send me a message saying, hey, I was in your class like 6 years ago, or I remember, I wasn't in your class, but we talked every morning. I remember seeing you. That's cool. You popped up on my For You page. That's crazy to hear, you know, right. Like, they see me, you know, like they're scrolling and they're like, hey, yeah, I know that guy. So that's wild. But we didn't have that without technology. Like that's cool. It connects us in a sense where I can catch up. It's in, hey, how are things? You know, it's neat hearing them say where they are in life and what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And when did you start posting on TikTok? Like how did you, when was your initial start on that?
I would say towards the end of the pandemic, like maybe last spring, my first post, I want to say, I had an account, but I wasn't really active on it. I was just getting ideas for teaching. And then I wanted to share my own ideas and give, you know, tips and feedback, or tips and just ideas to share with other teachers. So I felt like they're giving. So I want to give too. I want to help people with my own experience of what I learned in the classroom. And it wasn't until this year in January that it just took off. You know, I was just posting consistently and just giving, you know, advice in a quick little minute clip. And then it blew up. I was like, wow, that was crazy. And like one week, I want to say I had like, it's like 8,000 followers. And the next week I had like 80,000.
Wow.
And it was insane. Like one video I did took off had 9 million views, 8 million views.
Oh my. Yeah.
And it was a lot, but it was, I mean, with a lot of attention, there's some people who don't like what you're doing. And that took a lot of getting used to. I made me question doing social media for a good while. I just said, maybe I shouldn't do this. It's kind of difficult. You know, my love language is words. So words really hurt me. you know, and I'm trying to be more thick skinned about it. But like comments would be very mean and say some terrible stuff. And it was hard to read those, you know, from strangers. But thankfully, I don't know if you know Mr. Monroe and Nala. Yeah. He sent me a message and it was awesome. He was like, hey, I saw your video. I said, I posted a video about how I was debating leaving the social media, you know, space. And he's like, you know, it's, I forgot the words, but he basically said, it's unfortunate that people are like that, but you know, you got to think about the impact you're making, the positive impact, not like the people complaining or, you know, criticizing you. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's like that, that mentality of glass half full, you know, like we'll get one negative comment, but I might help 10 people, you know, but I don't want to focus on that one negative. I should focus on the 10 that I'm helping, or say, great idea. Thank you for your help. You know, as opposed to those saying, this doesn't work, or yeah, right, in a perfect classroom, or saying, this is a dumb, it was hard. Those pop out, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just changing my perspective, what I focus on, you know, took a lot of getting used to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad you chose to stick around and post, because I mean, just even like, that's how I found you, was like all your different teacher tips that you were posting and just comments and stories from the day and like your Star Wars classroom and everything. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm definitely following this guy.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I loved, like, towards the end of the school year, you talked about like shorts, wearing shorts.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's something I wore. I just finished my third year of teaching, and the first time I wore shorts was the end of this school year as well. I was like, why does it feel weird to wear shorts as a teacher? But it does. There's something about it.
And I've worn shorts every day. Well, I mean, it's definitely hot out here.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I used to wear suits and ties my first year's teaching.
Yeah.
I was wearing, I thought that was the way we had to dress as an educator. I thought, okay, got to wear a tie. So it was a t-shirt, the button up, the tie, the slacks and the dress shoes. Very hard to play football or four square in that, you know, but I was still doing it. I was sweating up and I have to dry clean my clothes every couple weeks. But after the pandemic, I felt like, why do I do that? It made me question, like, what's the purpose of, you know, dressing that way? Mm-hmm. And in our community, a lot of kids don't have positive male role models in their life. A lot are just raised by a single mom. And I felt like there was disconnect with them. Like they wouldn't really, oh, this guy's in a suit and tie. He doesn't understand any of the struggles I have, you know, nothing like me at all. Mm-hmm. But then when I started wearing, you know, still professional, like polos and jeans and still, you know, nice shoes. I felt more comfortable,
but that's a big thing.
That was a big thing because, you know, you're on your feet all day, you know, and if you're pacing the crowd around the classroom like you're supposed to, or out there at the playground, you need to have comfortable sneakers. Mm-hmm. But back to those kids, I felt like they would open up more. They would see me as not an equal, but someone like them, you know, or like or someone they can grow. I guess that distance wasn't there.
There's not that big a barrier in the way.
Yeah. I always felt like you needed to dress nice to be respected, but
right.
I think that it doesn't really, I mean, it could make a difference. Like definitely clothes, you know, don't show up in a holes in your jeans and stains in your shirt, but you know, I guess it depends on the person too, you know?
Yeah, I'm the only male educator in my primary school or in elementary school. So like my first year, I was like, how do I dress? Because there was nobody else I could look to and be like, oh, that's how other male teachers dress and things like that. So that first year, I kind of started off the same way. I was like, all right, wearing slacks, wearing these dress shoes, wearing a nice button up. And then, yeah, wanting to go out and play at recess. It felt like I was like an NFL GM, just like, and this nice little like here we go.
Or like the NBA coaches when they're wearing a full-on suit and everyone's wearing new jerseys and shorts, you're like, that you look out of place.
Right.
I'm the only male in my school too. I've been that way. Yeah. It's been I think only one year we had someone else who was on campus. Well, our custodian is male, our principal's male this year.
That's how we are too.
Yeah. So there was no one to compare. Like I was like, okay, but I came in my interview in a suit and everything. And he's like, you got the job, you know, you look professional.
Yeah.
I was like, okay,
well, here we go.
Like,
Yeah.
He wants me like this all the time. So I guess I have to dress like this every day. So yeah.
Yeah. Would you say like you're more like khakis or blue jeans?
I like jeans. Days then? Yeah. Mostly jeans. I have a pair of khakis, but they're like Levi's. So they're like stretch fit, mm-hmm. you know, but I might wear shorts next year. I think yeah. like, why not?
Go for it, man.
It's definitely hot enough. Like we go back in August. And it'll be stuff the hottest month in California. It might be like 102, you know, ooh. Those weeks. Yeah, it's definitely warm.
Yeah, you'd not find me there then.
Right? It's like 20 degrees hotter than your area, but you guys have negative 20. So
yeah.
Man, yeah.
You take what you can get. So I guess the next question that I have for you is, like, how do you maintain your work-life balance? I know as teachers, that can be something that's hard to do. Like, especially maybe after a long day, like taking stuff home with you, whether it's grading or just like the mental or emotional toll from the day.
Yeah.
How do you try to balance those two things?
It was definitely a struggle the first few years. And then when I got back after the pandemic, it was hard to get to readjust. But the first few years, my wife and I, when I got hired, I proposed to my wife. So she's only known me teaching throughout our marriage. But I remember coming home like the first year, definitely, like the mental tallness, was exhausted. And there were some times where I didn't want to talk. Like I was like, I just want to sit on the couch and just not have a conversation. And it was bad for our relationship because like I was taking stress that she had nothing to do with. You know, mm-hmm. It was unfair for her as well. But then we had a conversation about it and it made me think, you know what? I got to leave that at work. I can't bring that home. And as teachers, our job is never finished. Like that to-do list, it just keeps growing. You just cross one thing off, you still have seven more to get out of that day, you know? So I think learning that and then saying, you know what? I'm only going to do these five things. These are a top priority. It's due Friday. You know, today's Wednesday. I got to take care of this. And then the next day we get those next things done. So for me, it was, I have a journal, like a little book I do every day. And like I'll write my five goals for that day mm-hmm. and I'll cross them out as I do them. Then I have my work ones as well, like respond to that email, get that IEP taken care of. And then that's helped a lot. Like just like we budget our money. I got to budget my time. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure I spend it wisely and, you know, in the most efficient way possible. That's helped. And I'd rarely take stuff home. I tried, but I think that's a running joke. We bring that pack of papers to grade over the weekend or over winter break and it's unopened. We bring it right back when break's over, you know, unless it's like really, like if it's, I think I've only done that maybe once where I've actually really did the grading because it was urgent. Mm-hmm. But most of the time I'll stay late. And I'll do it at work or go to school early and knock it out before school starts. But I guess just like I keep them separated. You know, when I'm home, I'm in like husband and father mode. And when I'm in that classroom, I'm in teacher mode, you know, and I just like, let's switch, you know, different hats. And that's like the memories there. This is the school. And, you know, I focus on those things here. And then at home, it's, you know, dad and husband mode. So
yeah,
that's helped a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad that things are going well for you as far as like that goes. And that's definitely something hard for like first year teachers to really do, because you want to be like the perfect teacher. You want to have everything, like all your ducks in a row and make sure like, all right, I know my curriculum, I know my lesson plans, and I know like I have all my grades done and things like that. But yeah, there just gets to be a point where if you allow it to take that too much of your time, then you're not being that effective teacher that you want to be. You're not being the partner that you want to be at home, or the dad, or the friend that you want to be. And it just kind of consumes you. So it's good to have that off switch and be able to regulate that and recognize when one might be taking like over the other.
At least a burnout too. Like those get burnout way faster. And I whenever I see it, I always say, hey, like, cause we'll see it. And I think it's like as veterans, we really need to make sure we tell those first year teachers, like, hey, you can't do everything. Like, let me help you. Like, when I was a first year teacher, I'd be the first one there, the last one to leave. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Like, you're going to get burnout by, you know, February, and you still got to finish the whole year. So it's definitely, all the veteran teachers out there, like, you know, give some advice to those first year teachers, help them out, because, you know, send the elevator down. That's the metaphor I try to, like, you know, imagine. We're at the top, and just send it down, let them know, give them a helping hand.
So we've reached the halfway point in our show, and I just want to give you this small reminder that if you're planning on traveling this summer, to make Hayward one of your destinations and the Northwoods of Wisconsin one of your destinations. There's plenty of things to do here, like we've previously talked about on the show, from different outdoor activities to different places that you'll eat at and different local small businesses that you'll shop at. There's plenty to do and explore here in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, so we hope you visit us sometime soon, and if you do, be sure to hit us up on either our Facebook page or our Instagram page at the Northern Nerd, and we'd be happy to maybe give you a little tour of the area and show you around and hang out for a bit. So we appreciate you listening to the show, and now let's get back to it.
Have you ever had, like, those, like, after a long day, have you ever had those silent drives home where you're just like, can't have the radio on right now, just got to process what happened?
Yeah. It's the end of this year, a lot more than normal. A lot more than before, but it was a tough year. I mean, it was the first year back. Kids weren't used to being in a classroom.
Yeah.
But there were some times where it was weird. Well, not weird, even when school ends, like the cool kids leave the classroom, mm-hmm. and I go back in and it's silent. And it's like the room is the quietest it's been all day. And you're like, I'm just going to sit here, just enjoy this for a moment.
Yep.
And, you know, get on with the next part of my day. Those days happen.
Yes. But then there's also the days where you look back like, gosh, this is why, like, I went to teaching, like, maybe your lesson went right, or there was something that was funny that happened, and you're just like, this was a memorable day. Like, this is going to fuel me to keep me going.
Yeah. And I definitely don't want to knock students for that, like saying, like, oh, they won't be quiet. It's not even that. It's more of like, we make so many decisions throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Like, I read the number, I forgot what it was, but I want to say our decisions is like three times what normal people decide every day. Because if you're teaching, you're like, all right, we're going to do math. Kid pops up, hurt my hand. Okay, let me see. Solve that problem. Next person. Someone got hurt. Someone's arguing. Oh, it's a recess or it's an assembly. Okay. What are we going to do? Oh, what's my lunch decision? We're deciding so much. Oh, I'm out of line paper. I need graph paper. Oh, out of pencils. Where are my other pencils? We're deciding constantly. Our brains, you know, processing so much information. It's going at 120 miles per hour, you know, and then we're doing nothing for a moment. It's like, okay, I can just sit down and like, I don't have to decide. I can just sit right now. There's no decisions need to be made. You know, that's what I mean. Not like, oh, they won't be quiet, because kids are kids.
Right.
They need to talk to people. Mm-hmm. My classroom is not, you know, there's moments where it's quiet, moments where it's very loud. And I think that, you know, first year teachers learn that it's not going to be, you know, sit down, be quiet, do your work for an hour, and then we'll talk. Like, it's not mm-hmm. how kids, not how people work.
Right.
You know, we hate meetings like that or PDs like that. Why would we expect kids who have shorter attention spans to do a thing that we can't even do, you know? So, yeah, there's definitely amazing days with them.
Yeah. Do you have any stories that stick out to you as far as, like, those amazing days go?
We did a Secret Santa this year. That was a lot of fun. It's hard to find. There's a lot. I'm trying to think of some ones that happened recently. We do an auction. That's a lot of fun. At the end of the year, they earn some cash, and then I hype up these prizes I get from home. My wife and I might give her something like that she doesn't want anymore, like some jewelry, mm-hmm. or my daughter's RC car. So I'll auction it. And I didn't post a TikTok video because I might post it when we start going back, but I have it filmed already. Mm-hmm. Where I'll like I'll say, all right, you know, this water bottle bidding at $1, and the kids are in the back saying $20, $15, and they're over there, you know, waging their money, and it's neat. They're all excited when they win. And that's a lot of fun. We do one every month, but the last month is like the biggest prize we have.
Oh, okay. You
know, we've been hyping up all year, but that was a lot of fun this year. I did it the last year, but it was over Zoom, a little harder, mm-hmm. but this last year was a lot of fun with them. They really enjoyed it, and I'll continue it as the coming years mm-hmm. go on.
Yeah, and I see that you guys have like classroom pizza parties as well. If
yes,
so to describe your like perfect pizza party. What's all at the pizza party?
At least 17 boxes of pizza.
Yeah,
and I'm not exaggerating. Teaching fourth grade, I've learned that those parents are used to parties and they will bring whatever you need. You know, that's something great about the parents I have. You know, I'll bring cupcakes, I'll bring cookies, I'll bring drinks, but they'll offer and I'll have like multiple parents bring doubles. So I have to store a lot of them that I can't, you know, 3 pieces of pizza for every kid. And then like 2 cupcakes, 5 Oreos, 6 bags of chips. It's like lots of extra stuff. But it's neat because a lot of the kids in my classroom are like, can I save some for my brother, you know, or my sister? And a lot of them have siblings, you know, like 3 or 4 siblings. Our city is 200,000. It's a big city.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We have a lot of schools. I want to say 17 elementary schools, maybe 12 or 13. It's a lot. 5 high schools and I'm not sure how many middle schools, but it's a big population. We have like, I want to say within a mile, like 5 elementary schools. So it's a lot, it's it's a very concentrated population there. So a lot of, you know, brothers and sisters, it's very busy. My school is only 4, 5, 6. The school next to us is 1K through 3. So they'll come, like we're shared on a corner of a block.
Oh,
so
okay.
The students will bring stuff with their siblings and say, can I bring some chips? But a perfect pizza party, 17 boxes of pizza, 2 fruit trays, you know, some tahin. I don't know if you would like know the spice for fruits, tahin.
Oh, no.
It's like Lucas. I don't know if you ever had Lucas as a kid. It's like that. You put it on pineapple or watermelon. That's great. They love hot chips. They're huge hot chips fans. And definitely water because they'll need that. And I would say a lot of chips because they need a ton. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like a go-to movie during the pizza parties or is it something that like the kids vote on?
We'll vote on for sure. Whatever's like trending that during that time. Like we watched Encanto. That was a big one we watched this year. They tried to watch Sonic, but I think what was the last? We watched The Bad Guys. No, that was didn't come out yet. We were watching, dang, what was it? It was Encanto and they vote on something else. I forgot the second film. But they'll vote on it. We'll go through it and they'll pick a movie they really wanted to watch. I think Despicable Me was the one we watched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we like, I have some Disney DVDs in my classroom and also like able to get on Disney Plus, but I think one of my favorites to show is like Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs. We'll do a unit on it and read the story and then come up with our own weather for our area. And it's interesting to see what the kids
That's
are
neat.
Like. It's raining hot dogs and then like orange soda is falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Just That's to see cool. their creativity go with it.
I want to try that one. We did Wonder this year. That was the first time. I don't know if you're familiar with that movie or that book.
Yeah.
That was a good one to teach. We didn't finish the book in time. We got to I think we were 50 pages short, but it was, we're trying to cram it in 1 month. We were reading 40 pages a day. Oh, guys, we got to finish this before the last day of school.
Yeah, we got a deadline to meet.
by that time, testing's over. So we were just trying to just read, 10 pages before recess, 10 after, and we were kind of breaking it apart. But they enjoyed that. They loved the movie. And it was great for the empathy part. Like they were saying, oh, he's such a bully. Like we got to stand up for, Augie. And that was neat. I loved that.
Is that your favorite book that you read with your students or do you have a different one that's on that list?
Good question. One that we read every year is Play Louis Play. It's about Louis Armstrong growing up. It's about 10 chapters, very short, but it's from the perspective of his trumpet.
Oh, okay.
And I loved, hearing about his backstory and a lot of elements about his character. He's very positive, even though he has a terrible upbringing. You know, he's dirt poor. He has to put his pot out in the on the windowsill to get rainwater because he can't afford water. His dad walked down on him and then uses him later on in his life and then leaves him, but he's still positive. And a lot of my students can relate to that. Like they really, gravitate to like, oh, wow, like I can relate to that. Like my dad walked out on me or, I don't have that much money. I can relate to being hungry and going to bed hungry. But then they see he's still like a positive person. Like he still smiles and, you know, he chases his dream of being a trumpet player. That's a great book. One called Riding Freedom, about the true story of Charlotte Parkhurst, the first woman to ever vote. Her whole life, she disguised herself as a man to be the best stagecoach rider. And the girls love that story, you know, just about like, just, you know, we can do things that you guys can do, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun to like kind of just read books about characters that the kids can relate to, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And we read like Charlotte's Web. And then we also read the story of Marching with Aunt Susan. It's about like Susan B. Anthony, and talks about like how there was this girl that her like brother and her dad were saying like, oh, you can't ride a bike. And it started off that way. But then eventually talked about like the woman's right to vote and things like that. And it's just something that like, given we're in the 2000s and maybe a lot of students don't have that perspective, like, oh, what was it like before women had the right to vote? Like how hard they had to fight for that right to vote. So I think it's just a nice story that the kids are exposed to. But then we also have, I like reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Just the kids have a lot of fun, like imagining what's taking place and singing along with the songs that go along with it. And I haven't watched the movie with them just because like the 1970s one, I don't know. I don't think like they would get as much enjoyment out of that. That boat scene, man. I don't know if they could take that in second grade.
They might have nightmares from the Oompa Loompas. They were a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming to get me, Mr. Hassel. No, right, you're fine. Yeah.
A lot of my kids read Charlotte's Web in second grade. So we're in fourth grade. So we don't like a lot of those books. We don't get a chance to because teachers usually read those in the primary grades. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. They like that story a lot.
Yeah. Gosh, I think we're almost at an hour here, but I got some more questions for you if you mind sticking around for a little bit.
I got like 15 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. So I want to talk about like your Star Wars collection of stuff and like your poppets in your classroom. How did that all start?
It's hard to think about the moment started, but I think I had some stuff in my house and I said, you know what? Like I got to have a theme in my classroom. My first year teaching, I walked into a classroom. I was there mid year. So I didn't get to design my classroom. It was all mixed color walls and I had to just make do with what I had. But the following year I decided on a theme. I wanted something that, you know, kids can, I guess that was like my classroom. It was our own like space. I've seen like people do the Avengers. My co-teacher did a Starbucks kind of room. And I said, why don't I do Star Wars? Like, that's cool. I'll do that. And it was the era when like Force Awakens was coming out. So it was like kind of like a lot of like the rejuvenation of all the merchandising. Mm-hmm. So I had some stuff and I got like the wallpaper and I put it up. And then I became the Star Wars guy on campus. So then students started bringing me gifts. Like, here, I have this old eraser, you know, from third grade. Here you go. Or I have this action figure. And I was like, is it yours? And I was like, no, my brother doesn't want it. And I was like, no, you take that home. That's not something you can give. But they were just giving me all kinds of stuff. And eventually it just grew from like five things to like an entire classroom. Eventually I would buy my own things from like the stores around here. My mom would pick up stuff whenever she'd find it. And then teachers started bringing me stuff. So a lot of it, I would say probably 80% of it is gifts from students and teachers, my mom, and then 20% I've purchased it and bought it, you know. But the kids love it. They walk in and say the same thing. You must really like Star Wars whenever they walk in. And then you have those kids saying, oh, cool, I like Star Wars too. Or like, I have a Yoda backpack. So a lot of it definitely breaks the ice when they walk in the room and helps like just show like a space that's our own and has like my own personality in it.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably able to form that instant connection with some of those students, like talking about characters or what their favorite, like what color their lightsaber would be or different things like that you're able to just kind of go off of.
Even teaching like the idea that we don't have to like the same things. Like if a kid says, I hate Star Wars. So that's okay. You don't have to like it, you know, but it's something I enjoy. And this is, you know, my classroom.
Yeah.
And it teaches that lesson. Like we don't have to like the same thing, you know, because some kids will be, well, mostly the sixth graders will be like, Star Wars sucks. Like, oh, okay. All right. But they'll just want to get a rise out of me. but like, it's okay. Like, this is, you know, we don't have like the same kind of stuff. You know, it's okay to like different things and have our own personalities and still be okay with each other, even though if we don't have the same interests, you know, I definitely want to model that with them, especially with like the way things are with our division right now in society. You know, we got to find some common ground to just have, you know, what's the word? Be cordial with each other, you know?
Right. Yeah. Not say like, oh, it's either this side or the other side. Yeah. But yeah, find that common ground where it's just able to exist with one another and be
and around teaching that to the youth right now is very important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Do you have a theme in your classroom?
I do. So I had a superhero theme.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I had like this on my back bulletin
DC
board.
Or Marvel?
I kind of mix them. Is that okay?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, people like Batman and Spider-Man, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. I tried to make it as friendly as possible. Like whether you had some hardcore Batman or you had some people that like Spider-Man's my favorite superhero.
Mine too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of set up like my back wall is right by my desk is all blue. And then it has like a Superman like symbol, like there's some yellow construction paper behind it. So it looks like it's tearing open.
Oh, that's cool. I love it's that.
Like, thank you. Yeah. It says like, you're all superheroes in my classroom and, just put up different like superhero quotes to go along with it. And then have some different posters along my like classroom and things like that. But my first year of teaching, I went with like a cabin theme just cause that's kind of like the lifestyle of the Northwoods is like, it's a tourist spot where people can go to their cabins and hang out on their lakes and just enjoy that environment. So I used to have tables in my classroom and I don't think I'll ever go back to tables. It just doesn't fit my teaching style as well. But like
you
mean, I had them.
Do you have desks? You mean?
Yeah, I have desks.
Okay. I thought like you have like the, what's it called when they have like no seats in the classroom. I don't know if you've seen that style of teaching.
Oh, I'm sure my students would love to sit in like the beanbags.
Yeah, what's that like called? That. I'm drawing a blank. What's that called when they don't have any assigned seating in the room? I can't recall, but you know what I mean. It's that one where there's no desk for anybody. But go ahead.
Yeah, the tables I had them like set up in different cabins, like red cabin, blue cabin, yellow cabin. But it was like if two students were arguing with each other, and then I would move a student to a different cabin. Then that cabin would start arguing. Like, I don't know. It made it a lot more difficult than it actually needed to be. So it's nice to just have maneuverability to have the students move around in desks and work in groups and things like that.
But, in your classroom, do you have like, okay, this is the Avengers. You know, here are the young Avengers. Here's DC, like each group, or do you have that kind of group? Or?
Well, we actually ended up going with like Harry Potter groups for a while because I read Harry Potter for the first time this year. So I had like Gryffindor and then I had Slytherin and my Slytherin boys were like, we're Slytherin. They owned it. they weren't ashamed of it at all. but that was fun to do. And it was my first time reading Harry Potter and a lot of my students really liked the book. So they wanted to split up that way. So it was a superhero themed classroom with Harry Potter on the inside as well.
That's okay. Yeah. Why not? We can bend the rules, you know?
Right.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And they came up with, like we had like a class band name. I picked them up for music one day and they're like, we should start a band, Mr. Hessel. I was like, okay, what are we going by? And they're like, we're going to be the Hessel Ronies. Cause they like pepperoni pizza and they combined my last name with it. So then we went back to the classroom after that and it was towards the end of the day and we made up lyrics to the song, like the Hessel Roney song. That was our field day team name. We had like shirts and everything.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
See, like that's something I like. That's something they need, you know, like just, we don't need to be serious all the time. You know, those moments are awesome. Like just being silly and fun with being silly. Like I love that, you know, you're doing that with them.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And I think being, again, kind of going back to like being that only like male teacher in the school, like it's important to see like those students, you in that role as well. Like just being able to have fun while still teaching them and everything like that, but just being able to, I don't know, be goofy from time to time and really get, really connect with them.
What's your favorite thing about teaching? I know usually you're asking the questions, but I wanted to ask. Well,
yeah, definitely. I'd say my favorite thing about teaching is just like the relationships that you build, not only with like the students, but with their families. And living in a small town, I'm not sure how it is in like in your area, but do you see your students outside of the classroom at all, like at different community events or?
Maybe at the store, but it's very big, you know, our city. I might see them at Target or something. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. I live in the city next to like 15 minutes away from where I teach.
Oh, okay.
But if I'm in that area, I might see one at the supermarket or somewhere.
Yeah, I'd say just because, again, our town is so small. Like, yeah. I see my students everywhere, like at the 4th of July fireworks. Like, I saw half my class, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might see your whole class.
Right. Like, there they all are. They're playing wiffle ball out in the field. But I think, like, that aspect of it all, just being able to, yeah, to see my students outside of the classroom, maybe go watch like a little league game or go to one of their band concerts and just have like even though my time with them as like their teacher is done, I still can have an impact on their life as they go throughout all the way to high school and even beyond that. Yeah. So I think that's one of my favorite things about teaching. And I always wanted to be like someone's Mr. Feeney. I really just connected like that's kind of why I got into teaching. I was like, I want to be someone's Mr. Feeney. Like, I want to have like that kind of impact on someone's life. So that Boy Meets World was really foundational in me becoming a teacher.
That's awesome. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are to many students, you know.
Thanks.
Something, the impact we have on kids, is a random thought you had when you said that. Mm-hmm. Like, we only think about the direct relationship we have with those kids. But I like to imagine, like, let's say we touch one kid's life and we change it. Like, not only do we change their life, but also their spouse in the future when they meet, and then their kids and whoever they work with, whatever job they have, if they become a boss in the company, you know, we're changing so many lives through like this giant web, you know? So I like to imagine that, you know, whenever I work with them or like whenever I'm feeling frustrated with the kid, you know, mm-hmm. and I need to have some, like take a step back and imagine, you know what, like I got to imagine just what's going to help them, you know, 10 years from now. But yeah, definitely you're giving off the Feeney vibe. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, as we close out the show, I think we have about a couple minutes left here. I'm not sure if that'll be an hour. What's something like you hope your students remember you for?
How I made them feel. That's a big one for me. I always want to make them feel like they can do anything that they really want to set out to do. And that they, you know, have the power to. A lot of the time when I meet them, you know, they might feel discouraged or they think that they can't do those things or those big dreams are impossible for them. But that's one. I really do my best to make them feel like they can do whatever they choose to do, you know, chase their big dream.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? I would love to hear your answer.
I think, yeah, to kind of go off of yours too. Yeah. The way I made them feel and just like being there, like showing up, being a consistent person in their life that they can say, like, I can depend on Mr. Russell being there every day. And like, he's going to greet me with a smile or with a high five or a joke or maybe a fist bump or something like that. But just like, being that consistent person in their life that they can like look back and say, wow, they made an impact. I'm glad I had them as a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's one of the things like the legacy I want to leave behind kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
And 3 years teaching, like, trust me, when you see some kids come back and they're taller than you, you're like, I remember you. And they'll remember like everything that you said and some conversation, that random conversation you had on a Tuesday at 2 p.m. And you're like, I said that to you. And they're like, yeah, it changed my life. And you're like, wow, it gives perspective. Like, gotta be careful what we say.
Right.
Because, you know, like we have, you know, the power to make a kid's day or make them feel like, you know, like garbage. So I tell new teachers all the time, like, just, you know, your words are powerful and your encouragement means a lot. Like, never feel like your encouragement doesn't really do anything. You might not see anything. Like, what's the metaphor I'm trying to think of? as teachers, we're trying to plant, we are planting trees that shade we will not sit under. You know, mm-hmm. it's for someone else to benefit from. And we'll never see that kid, you know, achieve their dream, or well, most of us won't, but mm-hmm. But having the faith that we did, we made an impact, is something that keeps us going and mm-hmm. you know, doing this job and waking up and giving 100% every day.
Yeah, that breath is not wasted when you're given those words of motivation, or those just even lending an ear sometimes when you have students going through something difficult, like yeah. just the fact that you took the time to hear what they had to say and just be there for them. I think that goes a long way as well. So
absolutely.
I think it's like, yeah, teachers just have such a big role in students' lives and in people's lives. And I think everyone can probably look back on their educational experience and say, like, that teacher made a significant impact on my life, whether they realized it or not. I wonder where they are now and that kind of thing. So
they will remember the teachers they hated and the ones they loved, you know, and they'll remember first and last name, and they'll remember everything about them. One day in third grade, they did this. But, you know, the mm-hmm. ones that made them feel special, and, you know, they'll definitely remember us, you know?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think you're going to be one of those teachers, Diego, and I appreciate you spending the time to join me on the podcast today. I
hope so. And likewise with you, I can talk with you, and I love having this conversation with you. You know, I'd love to do it again. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sad the hour's already over. you know, thank you for having me on today. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We'll definitely have to do this again. Maybe right before the school year starts or something like that.
That'd be awesome. Kinda. Some essentials for back to school, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you, Dalton.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.
You too, man. Take care. Thanks again.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.